And now it's time for The Last Call with Pastor Marty Nutter of Faith Lutheran Church in Tullahoma.
This morning's text is our gospel lesson from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Now, what was it that Jesus had heard? What had happened so that Jesus withdrew privately by boat to a solitary place? He had just been informed that John the Baptist had been beheaded. You'll recall that King Herod had had John the Baptist thrown in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Herod had his brother's wife. And John the Baptist was bold enough to go before Herod to stand up to him and tell him, "What you're doing is wrong. You're living in adultery." And Herod didn't want to hear that. So he simply had him thrown into prison. He was afraid to kill him because the people revered John as a prophet. And so Herod simply had him thrown in prison. And John the Baptist became somewhat of a novelty for Herod, kind of like his own pet. And on Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias, Salome, danced for King Herod and his guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised on oath to give her whatever she wanted, even up to half of his kingdom. And having been guided by her mother, Herodias said, "I want the head of John the Baptist." And John's head was brought on a platter and given to her, and she in turn carried it to her mother. John the Baptist had been beheaded, and when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew privately to a solitary place. Have you ever done that? Perhaps when you get some bad news or you just need to get away and regroup for a while to pray, you go off by yourself. That's what Jesus did, although his time was short-lived because of the crowds that had gathered. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Jesus' heart went out to them. He had compassion on them, says the Bible, and he healed their sick. And as evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Now, in John's gospel, we're told that Jesus said this to test his disciples because he already knew what he had in mind that he was going to do. "We have here only 5 loaves of bread," they said, "and 2 fish. "Bring them to me," said Jesus. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, gave thanks, and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples in turn gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. 5,000 men besides women and children, so that actually the number that day could have easily been twice that number. Matthew's gospel alone records this. Matthew is writing to the Jews who did not permit women and children to eat with them in public, so they were in a place by themselves. This miracle by Jesus, the miracle known as the feeding of the 5,000, and this particular miracle is recorded by all 4 gospel writers here in Matthew 14, and Mark 6, and Luke 9, and John 6. So important, so astounding was this miracle that all 4 gospel accounts record it. Now, concerns about food are still with us today. Whether it's a small group or a large gathering, people need to be fed. Food becomes an issue sooner or later. And just as with the crowd of people in today's gospel lesson, so also for us, Jesus is still the one who takes care of our needs. Nothing has changed in all of that. And Jesus not only provides food and clothing and healing, but he also provides us with life-giving words. To the woman at the well, Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give to him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." In the sixth chapter of John, where Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life, he says, "I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. I am the living bread," says Jesus, "that came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." And the Jews began to grumble among themselves and asked, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" This sounded like cannibalism. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. And just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." It's a matter of feeding on Jesus, on him, and on his word. That's the point of the invitation in today's Old Testament lesson from Isaiah. God says, Isaiah 55, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the water, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy?" On one occasion, Jesus said, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And after Jesus had said this, there were those that asked him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." To believe in the one he has sent. It sounds so simple, and yet so much that statement holds. To believe carries with it the idea of putting your whole trust, your whole confidence in him, committing yourself to him completely, and following him. They all ate and were satisfied, and yet it was a temporary satisfaction, as all foods are. "Whoever drinks of this water," said Jesus, "will thirst again, and whoever eats of this bread will hunger again. But whoever drinks of me will never thirst, and whoever eats of the bread that I will give him, my very self," says Jesus, "will never hunger." There are numerous people today who are thirsty and who are hungry, thirsting for peace of heart and peace of mind, hungry for a right relationship with God and with family members and neighbors, thirsty and hungry for purpose in being and for the meaning of life. And the world, with all of its nice packages and bows, hasn't been able to deliver. It hasn't been able to quench the thirst and feed the hunger to satisfy that deep yearning deep inside of man, and it never will, because man's basic need is not physical, it's spiritual. and only Christ can meet it. Only Christ can satisfy the spiritual needs of man. And not only will Christ meet and satisfy the spiritual needs, He has promised to care for us physically as well. Do not worry saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things, says Jesus. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. You and I have come together here this morning because we're hungry. We're thirsty. That's why we're here. We're here because we hunger for righteousness. We hunger for righteousness and we are fed. Our souls thirst for peace and they are quenched as God feeds us and fills us from His holy word of Scripture. We say in the Creed, "I believe in the Holy Christian Church." And we might ask, what in the church is holy? It's not people. It's not the pastor or vicar. It's not the altar. It's not the cross. The only thing that in the church is holy is the Word of God, the written Word of Scripture, the Bible, and the extension of that Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ. And both are at work today to feed us, to quench our thirst, to nourish us through His written Word of Scripture. And He feeds us through more than bread and wine, His very body and blood. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given to us in our Savior Jesus Christ. He feeds us so that we may be satisfied, so that we may be at peace, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And He feeds us so that we may now go and feed others with this same food by which we ourselves have been fed by God. May these words today, "They all ate and were satisfied," have that greater meaning for each of us, and may His Spirit be mightily upon us as we do His will. In Jesus' name, amen.
I will raise you up on that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world, and I will
This may well be your last call to ever hear and respond to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't delay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2.